This Brigham Young University Idaho devotional address by curriculum designer Heidi Egan was delivered October 21st, 2025.
Heidi Egan grew up in Toronto, Canada, but moved to the United States for college in 1993. She has lived in Provo, Seattle, upstate New York, Los Angeles, and now Rexburg. She enjoyed serving a unique mission as a church service missionary leader. Sister Egan earned an associate degree in biology, a bachelor's degree in psychology, a master's degree in nutrition, another master's degree in psychology, and most recently, a PhD in health psychology. Before coming to BYU Idaho, Sister Egan was a full-time stay-at-home mom. She became an online adjunct employee in 2016 and has been a full-time employee since 2021. Sister Egan has been married to Jonathan Egan for 30 years, and they have five children. Her hobbies include fiber arts and gardening. She has served in nearly every church auxiliary, but her favorite calling is the one she has now, primary music leader.
I don't know about you, but I think in songs. Maybe it was because my dad always sang us to sleep every night, or maybe it was because my mom had a song for every chore and daily task, and maybe it's for some other reason altogether. But I would really love it if the world was a musical. My colleagues know that at any moment I might just break out in song, and they're very patient with me. My educational background is not in music, it's in health psychology, and I have loved learning about how the body, mind, and spirit react to this central part of my life, singing. I'll talk about how we react spiritually to and with singing in a moment, but what are some of the ways that we physically activate to singing? Using imaging tools, scientists have been able to look inside people's minds, brains, and see which areas are being used when they do different tasks. What researchers are discovering is that it takes all of the major structures of the brain to recognize and make music. Let's consider a few of them. The auditory cortex, which is by your ears, is where you process the sounds that you hear. Your prefrontal cortex, which is right behind your forehead, and your parietal cortex, behind the back of your head here, are where you recognize pitch and harmony. The motor cortex, which is also in your frontal lobe, helps you control your vocal cords. That helps you make different pitches as you talk and as you sing. Your voice goes up and down. And the motor cortex is also linked to rhythm and meter. The basal ganglia, which is deep in the brain, in the limbic system, helps you perceive beat. The hippocampus, which is also part of the limbic system, is tied to your memories with music. And the amygdala, also part of the limbic system, is the area of your brain that is active when you're feeling emotions associated with music. Songs can be deeply tied to memories, emotions, and even physical abilities. Researchers found that some individuals with Parkinson's who have trouble moving, they can move smoothly when they're listening to songs that they like. And some patients with severe Alzheimer's can remember song lyrics, and listening to music that they like can help them remember other more important information. I'm sure you all know by now that we're in the process of getting a new hymn book. As powerful as music clearly can be, it's important to select hymns with care. And one of the criteria for choosing the new hymns that go in the hymn book was, does the hymn unify members throughout the church? A few years ago, I was working in a country and a city I had never been to before. Everything in my environment was new and foreign. I got lost on my way to church, driving through pouring rain on what was the wrong side of the road for me. And I ended up getting to the church house as the congregation was singing the closing hymn. What I heard coming from that building as I stepped out of the car were the voices of the congregation singing, "We thank thee, O God, for a prophet." Suddenly, on the opposite side of the world, this congregation became dear to me. They were no longer strangers, but my brothers and sisters in Christ. Hymn singing has the power, if we allow it, to unify people of faith all around the world. My grandparents were not members of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, but they were different from different Christian faith traditions from me and from each other. They were wonderful people who loved the Lord, and they brought me to church with them when I spent my summers with them. And that meant that as a child, I was triple blessed with hymns from three different faiths. I know a lot of ways to sing about Jesus. And it's really fun for me to see some of those songs from my childhood in our new hymn book. Hymns like "It Is Well With My Soul" or "Amazing Grace," "My Shepherd Will Supply My Need." They connect me with my memories, my childhood, my faith, my love for my grandparents, my love for Jesus Christ. My heart, my mind, and my spirit are deeply engaged by these songs. I cannot wait to have new-to-me hymns from all over the world in this new hymn book, unifying us through music. Elder Dale G. Renland, in his message on the new hymn, said, "Music is the language of the spirit." I have experienced that, and I bet you have too. I have learned that hymns can bring messages from the spirit that cannot be learned in other ways. The Lord tells the saints in the Doctrine and Covenants, "For my soul delighteth in the song of the heart. Yea, the song of the righteous is a prayer unto me, and it shall be answered with a blessing upon their heads." Sometimes those blessings that are answered on our heads are healing, spiritual, emotional, or physical, that can come from and through music. I was in a ward where, for about a year, we sang the same sacrament hymn every week. Every week. Our organist was just learning how to play when she was called as the ward organist. And in a conversation with her, she told me that she was really struggling with the sacrament hymns. She could practice and learn a whole bunch of other hymns from the Hymns Made Easy, but when it came to the sacrament hymns, she was stuck with only one that she felt confident enough to play for our church service. And so every week we sang the same sacrament hymn, every Sunday, for a year. I didn't tell her, but having her play that same song every week was a real blessing for me. I was struggling to love some members of my family who thought and acted very differently from me. Every sacrament, we would sing hymn 172, where the second verse starts, "Fill our hearts with sweet forgiving, teach us tolerance and love." Did you see the irony there? I needed to sing that hymn so the Spirit could teach me and reteach me tolerance, love, and forgiveness every week. And every week, little by little, I grew. I learned to grow, to change, to repent, and to forgive so that I could love my family. Hymns have helped me in other ways too. There have been times when I've had questions about things that I've read in the scriptures or heard at church or from well-meaning teachers. There have been times when it's hard to hold on to contraries long enough to prove them true. Often it has been a hymn that answers and soothes or helps me patiently wait on the Lord for understanding. Maybe hymns have done that for you too. One that has frequently helped me is "Be Still, My Soul." Be still, my soul, the Lord is on thy side. Thy hope, thy confidence, let nothing shake. All now mysterious shall be bright at last. Every time I sing that hymn, I feel it comfort me and reassure me, and the Spirit confirms to me that all now mysterious really will be bright at last. There are times when joining with my congregation feels really hard. I'm shy, and I struggle with social anxiety, as you can see. Sometimes the hardest place for me to be on a Sunday is with a group of women that I don't know very well. And I say that as someone who loves the Relief Society, and I have a testimony of its mission. I have found that when those times hit, I am often blessed with being called as the primary chorister, where I can sing my prayers and praises to the Lord with the children of my ward. Like Sister Tracy Y. Browning taught in the most recent General Conference, The Spirit has taught me through primary songs. I, too, have had primary songs carry a holy influence in my life and have had it lift my soul, taught me eternal truths, and drawn me nearer to my Savior and to his gospel. I could be the sister who Sister Browning taught about, who credited primary music with accelerating her continued conversion to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Did I mention that I've been the primary chorister in 5 different wars? I'm so grateful for those opportunities. Hymns can teach us through the Spirit in ways that nothing else can. Give me 1 second. Let's circle back and pull this all together. The scriptures teach us that the spirit and the body are the soul of man and women. And after this life, we will long for the resurrection because we will feel keenly the separation of our spirits and our bodies. We need these bodies. Our spirits learn to grow through this physical experience. There's an incredible beauty in a physiological system that works in harmony with our spirits as it informs and enriches this mortal embodied experience. We've talked about how the Spirit can touch us as we sing hymns. Likewise, our bodies react as we sing. Singing can move us to tears. Singing can change our heart rate. Singing can bring us to our feet and make us want to clap, move us to rejoice. What physiologic systems prompts these responses throughout our bodies when we sing? In the middle of our brain, there are a couple of little structures called the pituitary and the hypothalamus. And these glands release chemical messengers in the body called hormones. And we're not talking about the hormones that might make your roommates hard to deal with or could make some bullet bike drivers a little much. Not those hormones. The chemical messengers from the brain that we're going to talk about are the ones that influence mood. And you may have guessed, singing boosts the happy hormones. Your generation seems really savvy about the happy hormones, so I'm just going to cover them really briefly. Let's start with dopamine. Dopamine is sometimes called the reward hormone. You've probably heard about chasing a dopamine hit. So the next time you are ready to brain rot or doom scroll, put your phone down. Go sing instead. Singing releases dopamine. Now let's talk about serotonin. Serotonin promotes feelings of well-being, happiness, and contentment. It can promote learning and memory, and it's released when you sing. So we're headed into midterm season. Have you considered singing your studies? Feel better and prepare for your exams at the same time. Next up are endorphins. Endorphins are the body's natural painkillers, and they're associated with stress reduction, improved self-confidence, and improved immune function. They can be released with physical exercise, and they also are released with music. So I don't mind exercise, but why not boost it with some good music, too? Finally, singing releases oxytocin. Oxytocin is associated with feelings of connection to others. Oxytocin is sometimes called the tend and defend hormone because it increases pro-social feelings and behaviors in groups. It also increases feelings of empathy. Connection and empathy, that sounds like the precursors of peacemaking to me. In his latest conference talk, Elder Gary E. Stevens reminded us of words from living prophets of the Restoration. Peacemakers need it. Disagree without being disagreeable. Replace contention and pride with forgiveness and love. Build bridges of cooperation and understanding, not walls of prejudice or segregation. And the same promise, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Could singing our new hymns help us build bridges of empathy, connection, and peace with each other? I believe they can. Do you remember how we felt a few weeks ago when the collegiate singers sang This Little Light of Mine? Yeah. We all spontaneously cheered. A bridge was built between us. That exultant, joyful feeling brought on by that music that we experienced together, that reminded me of the inspired words written for the dedication of the Kirtland Temple. We'll sing and we'll shout with the armies of heaven. I keep going back to that incredible performance by the collegiate singers. I've watched it several times since then, and I still get a rush of joy and delight as I sing along. And yes, I sing along. What about when we sing as a group, like the collegiate singers, or here in Devo? This past summer, my family went to a rock concert together, and the whole stadium was singing along. It was awesome. It was a really great feeling. In what might have seemed like an unlikely setting, people were so connected by singing together. People were polite and helping each other at the end of the concert, the most peaceful departure from a stadium that I've ever been to. And even the next day when we were kicking around the city, we'd see people in the same concert shirts that we had and know that they had been part of this cool group experience. People we had never met before saw our concert shirts and would just come up to us and start talking to us. It was really cool. We were connected. Bridges of empathy had been built by singing together. Those bridges are real. Research has shown that when people sing together, their hearts start beating in sync. Now hold on to that thought for just a minute and connect it with these beautiful scriptures. And the Lord called his people Zion because they were of one heart and one mind. And he commanded them that there should be no contention one with another, but they should look forward, having their hearts knit together in unity and in love towards one another. Is there a time when coming together in unity is more needed than now? Even here, there are thousands of students attending BYU Idaho. As much as we all share, and as much as we all have in common, you will still probably find people different from you. Someone will probably test your patience. We have different backgrounds. We have different takes on politics. And heaven forbid, we have different tastes in music. And these differences can sometimes feel more important to us than they should, especially when, as President Russell M. Nelson reminded us, we share the most important identity. We are all children of God. At times when it is harder for us to remember, could we use singing of hymns together to help us be one? Could the release of all those happy hormones from singing and our hearts beating together from singing together, and most importantly, the Spirit teaching us and healing us through the hymns, help us be unified in our common commitment to be like our Savior? Yes, I'm sure it can. I'm sure it can. In the most recent General Conference, Sister Browning said, "Sacred music can shine the light of Christ on the hearer and pour it into the heart of the singer." I know that this sacred light, when poured into our hearts, can help us grow in unity. So what does that kind of unity look like in a community of faith like ours? Elder Dieter F. Uchtdorf said, "The unity that we seek is not to have everyone see things the same way. It's to have everyone look in the same direction, towards Jesus Christ. It's not our common experience or our background that unites us. It's our common objective. We are one not because of where we have been, but where we are striving to go. Not because of who we are, but who we seek to become." Can we use singing hymns, new and old, to help us reach this ambitious goal? I'm certain we can. Where can we start? The Lord has said, "The song of the righteous is a prayer unto me." Why not start by having one of our new hymns running through the back of your mind, like a prayer? The one that has been running in the back of my mind ever since I first heard it is "Anytime, Anywhere." It's hymn 1012 in our new hymn book. It's really important, and you should all learn it. Where else can we start to use hymns and singing to help us reach the unity that Elder Uchtdorf described? Do your classes start with a song and a prayer? If they do, sing along. Because if you can talk, you can sing. And besides, everyone will be flooded with those feel-good hormones and create this feeling of connection, and no one will care if you're off-key. How did the hymns sound in your sacrament meeting? Alive? At tempo? Like you belong to the Church of Joy that Elder Kieran talked about a couple of conferences ago? Does your ward choir need some help? be the change. Another way to sing as a group is to go to Stadium Singers Sunday nights at 8:30 under the stadium. There are no tryouts, and the acoustics make everyone sound fantastic. Singing is good for your brain and for your body. Singing is good for your well-being. Singing is good for your community. When you combine all of that with the Lord telling us that the song of the righteous is a prayer, and we're told to pray often. So let's sing often. Let's find ways to sing the hymns as one important way to feel the Spirit and to be united with bridges of empathy and with our hearts knit together in love. The Spirit and the body are the soul of man and women. Let's sing hymns to get their messages of faith and hope deep into our souls. Some would say into the very fiber of our beings. I want to close with the words of a hymn that we used to sing at my grandma's church every week. And I want to share them with you as part of my own testimony. This hymn is called the Doxology, which means praise and glory to God. And you can find it in our hymn book as hymn 242. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. I say this and I sing this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
For more information about this program, please visit the BYU Idaho website at byui.edu/devotionals.